Now let me give you an introduction. Two pairs of two surahs each going to make a collection of four surahs. Surah of Noor and Zulmat, light and darkness. There are opposites in this universe, good, bad, high and low. All these things, contradictions. But with these contradictions, this universe is working. And without these contradictions, there would be no working of this universe. But there is another contradiction, and that is within you. The urge to do good and the urge to do bad, evil. Both are within you. You have the nafs-e ammara, which is urging you for something bad. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bissu. You have that spirit. It wants to pull you up towards your Lord. So, this Noor and Zulma, light and darkness, as they are opposed to each other, in the same way, good and evil, they are opposed to each other. So in these surahs you will find, in the first, eight ayat consist of oaths and very small, you know, statement on which this oath has been taken. In the next surah, there will be three ayat for oaths, and then on what the oath is taken, it is detailed somewhat. Then the third is Surah Al-Duha, the highest level to which a human can rise, and that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking to him personally at an absolutely personal level. Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Insyirah. These four surahs, very beautiful, very important, and the subject gradually develops. As if you know, there is a flower bud. It has not exfoliated. The petals are there in that bud, but they are not visible. When this flower opens up, this bud, now the petals are visible. So you will find, you know, the gist, the essence in the first surah, that is Surah Al-Shams. Then it will open up, it will be explained, directed upon in Surah Al-Layl. And then it reaches its zenith in Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Insyirah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wash-shams wa duhaha. By the sun and its brightness. والقمر إذا تلاها and by the moon when it follows the sun. تلا يتلو means to follow. This تلاوة, تلاوة القرآن, this word is derived from this root. In reading Quran we fall with the text, and some of the people, you know, they move their fingers along with the text, you might have seen. So it's a following, you are following the text, but the exact literal meaning of tala yatlu is to follow someone. By the sun and its brightness, and by the moon when it follows the sun. Wa-nahari-ra-jallaha. And by the day when it reveals the sun, as if day has shown us the sun. Wa-layli-ra-yakhsha. And by the night, when it enshrouds the sun, covers the sun. Sun is gone, not visible. Wa-samai wa-ma-banaha. And by the heaven, and as he created it, built it, or by him who has created it. These are two ways of translating this now. Vashamai, and by the heaven, vama banaha, and the way Allah has created it, or by him who has created it. Wal ard vama tahaha, and by the earth, and by him who created it, spread it, or by the earth, and as it has been spread. Wa nafsin wa ma sawwaha, and by the human soul, and as He has finished it, created it, finished it, given him the finishing touches. These are the 8 ayat. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Then he has inspired in it, in the soul, human soul, with the consciousness of the wickedness and piety. This human soul is not blind. It sees. This is right, this is wrong. This is good, this is bad. These basic moral values are inherent in human spirit, human soul. Man knows by his very nature, this is good, this is bad. This is evil, this is good. Now what is the statement on which these 8 oaths have been taken? Now, if there are differences, there will be different ends also. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. All these oaths are on this statement. Successful will be only who? That who purifies this nafs. And whosoever buries it, dastaha, whosoever buries it in the dust, he is a failure, he is doomed. This ayah has first once more come in Surah Al-A'la, Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. Qad aflaha man tazakka. Qad aflaha man tazakka. Half of this statement was there. But here this statement, if you see the day and the night, if you see the sun and the moon, if you see the sky and the earth, if you are seeing all these things different, so the end will be different. If the good and evil are different, then you know there are going to be 2 goals, 2 ends. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Definitely, successful will be one who purifies his soul. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. دَسَّا يَدُسُّو. We had read it that a Bedouin, when it was told to him that a daughter has been born, then he kept on thinking, should I keep her despite all this humiliation, or I should go and bury him in the dust, in the sand. That is دَسَّاهَا. I told you, if this nafs has not been purified, if this id and libido has overwhelmed it, what does it mean? As if this soul or spirit is dead and buried in this grave. Now this body of mine is a grave for this soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Now this happens at the individual level, and this happens also at the collective level. So collective level is mentioned in the remaining 5 ayat of this surah. One thing I told you before is that from Suratul Muzammil till the end of the Quran, all these surahs are in perfect pairs. But at some places you will find 2 pairs can be grouped together to make a subgroup. And this is the first example. Suratul Shams and Suratul Layl, they are a pair. Surah Al-Duha and Surah Al-Inshirah, they are a pair. But all 4 of them go to make a subgroup. There is one subject which develops gradually in these 4 surahs. I told you that in Surah Al-Shams, there are 8 ayat of oath. But the reality or the statement on which these oaths have been taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Now that statement comes, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Verily, the one who purifies his soul is successful. And the one who buries it in dust is unsuccessful. Now, we have been translating this tazkiyah by the word purification. Actually, it is very hard to translate many fundamental terms of Quran into some one word of English language. It's very difficult. Tazkiyah doesn't mean only purification. It means purifying something in order that it should develop. This word, you know, is applied by the Arabs, Bedouin Arabs, to the function of a gardener. When he enters his garden, some of the plants he has himself sowed, either for flowers or for fruit. But around those plants he finds grass has grown up, other unwanted vegetation is there. So what's the result? Whatever is the nourishment in the soil is now shared by this also. It's not all going to the plant which you have sown. In the same way, the oxygen from the air, that is also being shared. So he removes all these things. This is called tazkiyah. Because they are hampering the growth of that plant which he has sown in order that it should grow up, be mature, bear either fruit or flower. So man actually is a plant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has planted it. And he wants to see it flourishing, growing. But what type of growth? Not the growth of an animal. His growth as wise student of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who reflects the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his personality. So this process, to remove all the hindrances in the way of the spiritual development of a human being, it is tazkiyah. Qad aflaha man zakkaha. Only that one is successful who has really purified his soul, developed his soul, his ana, his khudi. Like Allama Iqbal says, tamir-e khudi, construction of yourself. Qad aflaha man zakkaha wa qad khaba man dassaha. And I told you, dassa yadussu, in Arabic means to bury something in the sand. This, you know, came in Quran for those Arab Bedouins who used to bury their daughters alive. Am yadussuhu fi turab. You kept on thinking, should I keep her with me despite this humiliation, or I should bury her? So dassa yadussu. This is it. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. If you can't take care of that real self of yours, you are only taking care of the animal self of yours, the animal aspect of your existence, then this animal existence of yours becomes like a grave in which that spirit is buried. Only this grave is mobile, it is moving. It's not fixed at one place. But every human being then becomes a mobile grave of his real spiritual identity and self. Now this regards mainly personal and individual purification and development of the ego or development of the self. But now we come to the collective level, human society. This also behaves in the same way. If there is no arrangement of a purification of that society and that nation, that people, that community, it is doomed. So a process has to continue, which we call Amr bil Ma'ruf Nahi anil Munkar. At the collective level, this enjoining upon people whatever is good and forbidding them from whatever is wrong, it is actually the purification of the society. This process has to continue if this society is to live as a healthy society. If this process comes down, then the society is doomed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a devastating chastisement, and they are finished. So one example, all you know, the messengers of Allah who came, they were doing this, trying to purify the nation, purifying the society, purifying the community from the evils and ills, moral ills, or you know, transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they fail, actually they didn't fail, the society or the community or the nation failed. Then a devastating chastisement of Allah came and they were destroyed. One example is quoted here. Kazzabat Samud wa batahwaha. The Samud denied the truth in their insurgence and transgression. Hazrat Salih alayhi salatu wa salam was sent them. But this nation failed. Izim ba'asa atfa. Now to cut a long story short, well, you know that sea camel was given to them as a very big sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at their demand. But then, you know, one of the chiefs who was the most wicked, most wretched chief, he rose up to kill the sea camel. فَقَالَ لَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُفِيَا. The messenger of Allah warned them, beware, it's the sea camel of Allah. Don't take it. لَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ. At another place you read. نَاقَةَ اللَّهِ وَسُفِيَا. And you know, keep its term of drinking water. Don't take it with any bad intention. But فَتَزَّمُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. But then they denied him and killed her. فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ. So their Lord crushed them for their sin. فَصَلَّاهَا and levered them to the ground. Or another meaning is, made them all equal. What does it mean? There were rich, there were poor. There were the leaders, there were the led. Common people. But when this chastisement comes, you know, then all are equally involved in it, afflicted by it. So we have that ayah in Surah Al-Anfal. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Beware of that chastisement that comes, if it comes, then not only those who are involved actually in these sins, not only they are punished, others are also punished. Because they were guilty of not purifying their society. At only one place you find in Surah Al-A'raf, those who till the last end go on, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. They continue their struggles to enjoin upon whatever is good and to forbid people from whatever is wrong. They are saved only. Otherwise, whether people work actually involved in that sin or not, both are included in the collective chastisement that comes. Now a little distraction here. This role that was being played by the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has now by assigned after the institution of prophethood and messengerhood having come to an end in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this role has been assigned collectively to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for all times to come for the whole of humanity. كُنْتُمْ حَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. If we don't perform their duty, then we are doomed. Then we deserve the chastisement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رحمتیں ہیں تیری اغیار کے کاشانوں پر اور برف گرتی ہے تو بیچارے مسلمانوں پر. Why? We deserve it. You are not doing your job. You have become just a nation like the other nations of the world. You are rather humiliated nation, having no respect in the community of the nations. Nobody asks you any opinion in any international matter. تخنمی پرست کے بھیا کی اسی ہوئی آج یہ بڑی آخر ضربت علیہم الذلت والمسکنت وباؤ بغضب من اللہ. Now from this collective doom, only those people can hope salvation and saving by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who exert up to their utmost in discharging the duty of amr bil ma'roof and nahy al munkar. Only they can hope. That is why we have found that ayah also in the same surah Ali Imran. وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Only these people who keep engaged in this three items agenda, calling mankind to good, يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, enjoining upon them whatever is good, وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ, and forbidding them from whatever is wrong. Whosoever continues, whether someone listens or not, they don't worry. They don't have to worry. They have to discharge their duty. But they can earn salvation for them, at least, for themselves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. The last ayah, Allah doesn't fear its consequences. You know, it happens in collective affairs. Supposing there is a king and he sees some of his chieftains or some of his subordinates, he is doing something wrong. But if he is, if I touch him, if I bring him to book, there might be a big turmoil. He has supporters. So he has to think twice. As we have read in Suratul Mumin, Fir'aun couldn't do anything. He wanted to kill Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. But when that, a moment from Ali Fir'aun stood up and he gave that sermon. No, he couldn't do. Although he was the person claiming to be God. Ana rabbukum al-ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares for none. Wala yakhafu uqbaha. He doesn't have to fear that there can be rebellion, there can be some, you know, untoward results, unpleasant thing might happen. No, no, he can do whatever he likes. He devastated and destroyed the whole nation. And he doesn't have to fear that something wrong can appear. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bil ayat wa zikr.